Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. So we came back to the dog shit. That needed addressing again. We're coming back to something else, Neil, today.
I was going to say, don't go.
No, we have to close that chapter in our lives. Okay. Unfortunately, we have to reopen another one. Do you remember the oddity about the doctor putting his semen into a woman's coffee?
Of course. How am I going to forget that?
I was getting a bit irate about that one, wasn't I?
I think we both were.
No, this is it. And obviously a listener heard that and thought, well, I want to cause further pain to them.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't heard it, he'd been caught because his semen was in his co-worker's coffee. And then his excuse was, I have a condition where every time I go to the toilet, I ejaculate. So essentially he was saying, he didn't wash his hands.
Yes, and there was a transfer.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Hmm. And he was a doctor. That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, a load of bollocks. Clearly not true.
Clearly knocking one off.
Well, a listener actually messaged us, and like I said, wanted to kind of further the traumatization of the situation. So this listener works in a dialysis centre.
Okay.
So I've actually asked him for his opinion on something else, given his profession.
What, medically?
No, not to do with me.
Oh.
Do you remember Richard's kidney? That caused a bit of outrage between you and I and the listeners. There's a bit of a divide there.
There's actually quite a few who agreed with me.
Predominantly men, I did notice. Yes, I'm still on that. Yeah.
Again, if you haven't heard that one, it was so someone was married. She needed a kidney transplant. She'd had two, what didn't take, and then he checked and he was eligible, so he donated his kidney. Then she went shagging about and they was having a divorce, and he said, I want my kidney back. And I agreed, and Megan did not.
No, because I'm not a terrible human being. Yeah. But apparently a lot of the mortals are terrible human beings. Well, not a lot. But there is a percentage.
The realists.
I would say about 87% are decent and the others are just ripping kidneys out of people. So, you know, I mean, can't all be perfect, you know? So anyway, this is what one of our listeners has messaged us. Okay, guys, you did an oddity where a guy tried to say that he jizzed when he pissed. Which I think is bullshit, by the way. Fuck that guy for jizzing in the lady's coffee. But it reminded me of a story. He said he couldn't help it. Okay. So I work in a dialysis centre and once caught a patient jerking off under his blanket.
Get him out.
Well, he reported it to the RN, who was on the staff, yeah?
What's an RN?
Registered nurse.
Oh, very clever.
Well, they told him to leave this person alone.
What?
Yes. So he said, I was fucking shocked and demanded an explanation. Good man. Rightfully fucking so.
Man comes from money.
He said, I guess they've tried to tell him off before and he showed up the clinic with a doctor and a lawyer.
There it is.
They both stated that the blood recirculation causes his penis to become erect and if he ignores it, the situation can become quite painful and could damage his junk, I guess.
What?
Yeah.
So if he doesn't toss it off, then...
He's saying it's medical. He has to sort himself out there and then.
What? Right. Just real quick. Why is it always like your man, you know, knobbing one off in coffee and this one...
Knobbing one off?
Yeah.
That's a new one. I like that.
It's never women. It's never a woman... was caught frigging herself and it turns out it's a medical condition.
No, not
it's
so much.
Always men.
Yeah.
Ah, he has to. What do you mean he has to?
It's kind of like because it's there, they have to be at it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just pulling at it.
Like
leave it alone.
I don't know what they were doing when they were, you know, creating mankind and putting something like that on the outside of a man's body.
Yeah,
because
they can.
He's not going to do anything else but fucking look and play with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it they say? You know, if you shake more than 3 times, you're just playing with yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Words to live by. Right, anyway, the listener, he was told, if this man is not making rapid, obvious movements, not moaning, not staring at anyone while doing so, and also if he's not exposing himself, you know, by being underneath the blanket, they are to let him keep fiddling himself underneath this blanket.
And then they're the ones who have to clean up his slop.
Well, look, even if he's taking care of that himself, it's still not great. Could you imagine walking past trying to do your job? And you know, there's other people sat there and this dirty little fucker.
Yeah.
At himself. Got to himself, he did, Neil. I mean, the worst part of this story is our listener, because of the situation they're in, what are they to do? They, you know, they're being told by the higher ups and the lawyer and the doctor and all.
I'll tell you what you do.
You can't do much about it.
I'll tell you what you do. You go up to security in this place and go, knock cameras off. And then you go over to him when cameras are off, open palm, slap him across the face and went, no evidence of that. Fucking stop. If I see that art again, I'm having it. I'm putting it in my pocket.
Wow. Now, that's actually interesting you saying that, right? Because I understand the temptation, okay?
Yeah.
Not to touch his Mickey now.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the point I was about to make. You know the whole thing of like, if there's like a fight going on or some situation, drunk and disorderly, and police are called, and they get there and they find a naked man. Quite often greased up, it seems.
Well, I've told you before, I'm not fighting a naked man.
But this is my point, right? I don't want to touch anyone who's, you know, naked, you know, fucking scantily clad, touching themselves.
Yeah.
Don't touch me.
Yeah.
I get grossed out too easily by people like this.
Mm.
I could never be in law enforcement. I would probably really struggle to be a nurse. Care assistants, another one.
Oh, they don't care in like nursing homes.
Yeah, that's what I've heard stories.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't matter that they're old. Like, that's actually another conversation. When people call old people cute and shit, it's like, don't be so fucking patronizing. Yeah. Like, they're still a dirty old man.
Yeah.
Just because they're older doesn't mean they're not.
Just because they're not capable because they're weak.
Fiddling themselves senseless they are in them nursing homes. No joke. No, but I can't deal with that. We've talked about it where you're like, you know, just fucking knock them out if they're, you know, whatever. It's like, I can't. Get away from me. I don't want to touch you. Could you honestly go up to the naked or...
I'm not fighting a naked man.
Naked and or masturbating man. And, you know, shove him, punch him, whatever. Like, I'm talking about you're in a situation where... Okay, let's say it's someone is approaching me. The naked masturbating man is closing in. And I'm like, huh.
No, I'd have to then.
You'd have to, yeah. But you wouldn't be happy about it.
Oh, obviously not.
And I'm not very fast. You know, so I can't run. I probably can't outrun the naked masturbating man.
Look, I'm not going to be happy getting in any fight. I don't want to get in a fight.
No, of course not.
But if someone's walking over to you with his Johnson hat.
Yeah.
Waving at you.
His tackle.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd have to then.
What if they were walking over to you?
What?
They're walking out. Right. So you're not trying to help me, who's, you know, pathetically feeble in that sense, you know, when it comes to defending myself.
I would drop kick him in the bollocks.
You think you'd get more angry if it was you?
No, way more angry if it was you.
Okay. What would you do if they're coming over to you?
Drop kick him in the bollocks.
If someone's like Buffalo billing it over towards you.
Yeah. I would imagine I'm jumping off the top rope and I would drop kick him in the bollocks.
Okay, so whether it's to defend yourself or someone else, you're pretty happy to take on the naked masturbating man.
If I have to.
Yeah.
But I, like...
It's not, you wouldn't, like, go out of your way to do it.
But if I was at a party...
Yeah.
You know...
There's a lot of yous there. You don't want to step up to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair.
Like, I don't want to roll around with a naked man. Because if that touched my face...
Not outside of the weekend, no.
What?
What?
If that touched my face or, like, landed on my head...
Yes.
There's no amount of showering is going to...
No.
...fix that.
No, no.
Yeah.
You okay? You kind of look as if you're envisioning it
I'm
now.
I'm just remembering, you know, our second episode of this podcast, we had this discussion.
Was it the second episode?
Yeah, it was Richard Chase.
Okay. I thought that was episode 3.
No, it was...
Beg your pardon.
It was episode 2.
Okay.
Episode 3 was Blanche Monnier. Monnier.
That was her name, yes.
Yeah, something like...
Blanche Monnier, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we talked about it in Richard Chase because they had to tackle him naked and I went, oh God, you know, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, you look like you're going through it a bit. Do you want to move on? We move on from naked masturbating men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. I think we have to.
Yeah. Okay.
So this week we have a shout out.
We do indeed.
So this week we have Melissa.
Melissa.
That was the exact thing what went through my head when I saw we'd got a new Patreon member called Melissa.
It's one of those names.
I looked at you and I went, Melissa.
And I said, I was thinking that. It's one of those names where I can sound like a...
A knob.
A creepy guy. Oh, Melissa. So after we finished sexually harassing Melissa.
Yeah.
What have you got for me, Neil? You got any?
How about Melinda?
Well, her name's Melissa. It's a different name.
Yeah, but I'm not bothered about Melissa.
You just prefer Melinda?
Yeah.
You're renaming Melissa?
Kind of. But that's what we do with all the Patreon members.
I mean, I suppose, yes.
You know?
Yeah. And that's actually quite, you know, it's much less offensive.
Like, fuck me, we have a Patreon member called Bendy Rectal.
And Tampon.
And Tampon.
Yes. Big prick.
Big prick.
Yeah. So actually, Melinda is, if anything, a compliment. We're just giving you an additional name.
But hang on. Sure I can come up with something. Mel C, Spice Girls.
What about Mel B from the Spice Girls?
Oh, she's from Leeds.
We don't talk about that, do we?
Lissa.
Lissy Lizard.
Mel.
Melly.
What?
Melly.
Melly.
Melee. Melee. She's a bit of a scrapper.
Liz.
Za. But yeah, there you go. Thank you to the musical artist.
I have one.
Oh.
Malicious.
Malicious Melissa.
Yeah. Malicious. Malicious Mortal.
That's her wrestler name.
Sure.
Sure. So thank you to the wrestler. Malicious Melissa.
The Mortal. The
Mortal / the musical artist, Melinda, formerly known as Melissa.
Yeah.
We appreciate you. And guys, if you want your episodes early and ad-free, head on over to Patreon and join Melinda and also enjoy some bonus content while you're there. If not, please feel free to leave a rating and review. And we appreciate you.
So, with Melissa and masturbating men out of the way, what have you got for us today?
Well, today, Neil, we are going to be talking about some bizarre Victorian deaths.
Like tortures?
No, just, you know the way Victorians were just...
Dirty bastards.
Kind of just acting the bollocks.
Mm.
Ye old acting the bollocks.
Yeah.
As you would say.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually got a comment. Someone loved it when I said, ye old dirty bastard.
I'm sure you'll work it in again somewhere. But yeah, like Victorians were always kind of just acting the bollocks, I feel. And I thought there's got to be some unusual deaths in there. So let's have a look.
It'd be harder to find just unusual deaths.
It was a little bit harder. Yeah. Mm. But there are some articles and things. And then obviously I can find some old newspaper clippings from it.
Because I think that's Victorian. It looks like a gas chamber, but it opens up. It like splits and it opens up and it's got spikes on both sides inside. And
an Iron Maiden.
What?
An Iron Maiden. You're thinking about like the torture chamber thing.
Yeah.
No,
I
no, but
I
again,
think that's Victorian.
No, no, but it's not, we're not doing like tortures or anything. It's like just people who had unusual deaths. It's kind of, remember we did an episode on that previously? We're doing that, but it's Victorian. So it's, some of them are a bit more, don't want to be disrespectful, but a bit more ridiculous.
Well, like someone fell off a cliff.
No.
Huh.
That's all right then. There's no cliff falling. So that's, you're good now.
Yeah.
Got that out the way.
Yeah.
So the first one we have for you today is the alarm clock. In 1886, a man named Sam Wardle from Long Island came up with a fabulous idea of attaching a 10-pound rock to his alarm clock.
What? Why?
Well, you see where we're going with this already, don't you?
Yeah, but why?
He did this because Sam was actually a lamplighter, and lamplighters could have particularly unfavourable hours. They had to, of course, light the lamps in the evening, but had to be up early to extinguish them at dawn. And Sam, he just needed a little bit of help getting up.
Right.
But I don't
see what the rock does attached to the alarm.
So when Sam's alarm was to sound, the rock would crash onto the floor, create a load of fucking noise, and Sam would wake up.
Right, okay.
Bit extreme, but, you know.
Yeah.
Does the job. So all would have been good if not for the fact that Sam had hosted a Christmas party and because of this had moved furniture around his house, you know, to make space for the guests.
And was pissed up, probably.
That's exactly it. After the party, Sam was most likely a tidbit bipsy. You know, we've all been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he wasn't paying much attention to where his bed was positioned. And when his alarm went off the following morning, the 10-pound rock fell, as planned, but it also smashed Sam's head in.
Only 10 pounds?
Well, 10 pounds crashing onto your head from a height. It was up on a shelf, like above the bed, I believe. And then, like, 10 pounds falling from a height.
Well, what a fucking idiot.
Well, like I said, he'd had a couple scoops, you know, he was on his way.
They were just different back then, weren't they?
So you're not impressed with the first story? That's not done it for you?
Well, no, that's a life lost for what? Like, now people have to walk about in dark outside.
Oh, that's what you're taking issue with.
Like, he had a duty.
He did, yes.
So who was lighting the lamps after that?
Tim. Tim took over.
There's no way you know that.
No, I don't. The hairball. In 1869 in Lincolnshire, a 30-year-old woman passed away unexpectedly. They performed a post-mortem and found that the woman had a ball of hair weighing 2 pounds in her digestive tract.
See, right. We used to say this to birds at school all the time. They always had the fucking hair in the gob.
What?
When I was at school.
Yes.
Birds at our school would always have hair in the gob.
What do you mean, like chewing it or?
Yeah, they'd fucking like suck on it.
No, you wouldn't have caught me doing that because I straightened my hair.
They did.
But what the fuck were they chewing their hair
for? They were always sucking on the fucking hair. It was so annoying.
A lot of anxiety disorders in your school, was there?
And I remember, you know, kicking off about it when you stop sucking on your fucking hair. And one of them were like, jealous because you can't do it. And it's like, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Fucking idiots.
Well, you can do it now if you want to because you've got a tash. So you could like...
Oh, I do that sometimes.
Yeah, like you just can like, put the corners into your gob.
I'll like twizzle the end and then I'll pull it.
It's a bit like Norman with his fluff. It kind of sometimes it gets trapped in his mouth and you got to fix it for him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I do it with my tash. But that's a bit different to someone with long hair and like it's hard to do it audibly, but they just stretch it across the face.
Using his fucking dental floss.
A lot of it.
Yeah. No, I never did that.
Fucking.
Why would you do that?
Different breed, you lot.
It's not me. Different breed, you lot up north. Up north,
yeah,
as you'd say.
Yeah. Well done.
So the woman in question with the hairball, her sister would later confirm that the woman had, for the last 12 years, been in the habit of consuming her own hair. 12 years.
Why?
I assume a disorder.
Can't be much nutrition in that.
No, not so much. And it's not great to have like a big mass sitting in your stomach either.
Well, we saw what came out of our cat.
Yeah, our cat never gets hairballs. And there was one time he kept getting sick. For a few weeks, he kept getting sick. And I was getting so worried about him. We'd brought him to the vets, all this.
Yeah.
And then he finally coughed up a hairball. Now, it was fucking disgusting, but I was so happy to see it.
Do you know what was even more disgusting? You waited for me to wake up and show me a photo of it. And it's like, why?
I had to. You know cats better. You've had cats before. And yeah. I was like, Neil, does this look all right? I tried looking it up and everything, but I thought you'd have a better idea. It may be gross, but I'm looking out for my kitty cat.
You didn't even give me time to wipe my eyes.
Well, you know.
It's a bit embarrassing though, isn't it? Death by hairball.
It's not great. No.
Like, I hope I go away. You know, it. When it's my time to shine.
To shine.
You know, I want it to be something like...
The sausage roll lodged in the throat again.
No.
Oh.
That wasn't funny.
Oh. Because it's hitting too close to home.
That's what I mean. That wasn't funny.
Yeah.
You were watching me die laughing.
I'm pretty... I'd say there's a, you know, at least a 50% chance that's how you're going to go out. The other 50% is for any other cause of death.
No, I wanna go away, you know, with something glamorous like heroin addiction.
Mm. Just so you know, Neil's not completely insensitive. He's taken that from a show. That is a quote from a show. Anyway, back to the hairball.
Mm.
Quote, this remarkable concretion had caused great thickening and ulceration of the stomach and was the remote cause of her death. Now, there was also the story of another young woman who had been eating her hair. She underwent a gastrotomy and a, quote, cucumber-shaped mass of hair was removed.
That's fucked.
Well, the operation went well, surprisingly, for the time.
Mm.
And the mass that was removed was reported to have measured 12 inches in length and 9 inches in circumference at the densest section. There is another report from 1870 where a 20-year-old woman was admitted to an insane asylum on the 9th of December. She had become unwell, started spitting up blood, grew weaker and weaker, and by the end of July, she was dead. Following her death, a post-mortem was performed. Her body was described as emaciated, with hair and wool being found in her stomach and intestines, and same with the first woman, her stomach had become ulcerated.
Fucking hell.
Well, this is where it gets a little bit sus. The nurse who was responsible for her care said that the young woman had no injuries and was well cared for and nourished. She also said that she had never seen the woman eating her hair and that it must have happened prior to admission.
But you'd notice the hair missing.
I'm not saying that it didn't happen prior to admission, but I feel like this nurse is talking a lot to kind of, yeah. Wasn't me.
Yeah.
I definitely didn't. There's nothing to do with me, lads.
Yeah.
I can't really stress enough, the 1800s was a fucking awful time.
Like, when you just notice, it's all these bald women. Where's the hair? You know, you go looking in the bins and stuff. There's no hair. Where's the hair?
But it's not even, like, they could have been pulling their hair out, or it could have been what was falling out. Every time it fell out, they were eating it.
Hmm.
Where's the hair?
No, were you saying she were in an insane asylum? Insane asylum,
mm-hmm.
You know, and they go to do a checkup one day and they're like, hey, for hair's gone. Where the fuck's that? So then they're looking in the bin, they look and they ask her, where's your hair? Don't just disappear.
You're not really going to think about it. You could just think someone's hair's falling out. You're not going to be like searching for the lost hairs, are you?
I suppose.
Next we have the bear.
And now we're talking.
It's a bit of you, this,
isn't
it? Now
we're talking.
In 1891, in Vilna, which is present-day Vilnius, there was a man who kept a bear as a pet. You know, because
first
he was
mistake.
A fucking gobshite, exactly.
Yeah.
And this bear was said to have been tame, but had a taste for vodka.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, in search of that sweet, throat-burning nectar, the bear ventured into the village and towards a tavern.
Sweet.
To the bear, he had a taste for it. It tasted good to him.
Oh, right, okay.
Sweet. When the owner, Isaac Rabanovich, found the intoxicated bear, he then attempted to wrestle the keg of vodka from the bear. No, that sounds a bit odd to me. I think I'd just leave it there.
It's just going to turn into the roughest bar fight ever.
Again, 1800s, times were tough. He probably couldn't afford to lose the stock.
Yeah.
You know, gotta think about it from all angles here.
Mm.
Well, as I'm sure you can guess, it didn't go well.
Mm.
The bear was said to have hugged him to death. And after this, he then attacked Isaac's two sons and daughter.
Well, what have they got to do with it? Leave them alone.
Well, I'm guessing they heard their father screaming in pain or what have you,
mm.
and went, what's going on?
And then it did like the typical 80s movie bar fights. One of them runs up, smacks the bear on the back with a chair. The chair fucking implodes and the bear just stops and turns around and eats him.
The bear was later found by villagers asleep in pools of blood and alcohol, surrounded by the bodies of this family. The final victim was the bear, who was shot and killed following the discovery.
Mm.
He was just thirsty.
Well, look.
Poor old devil.
People might judge me for going, nah. But he didn't willingly start drinking vodka.
No, clearly not.
You got him on that.
Mm.
So you caused that.
Well, it's the fact that the bear was being kept. You know, if the bear had just ventured in, it's like, this is just a horrible tragedy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Who was the... I want to know who the owner was.
Yeah.
Mm.
I'm out of words.
The pallbearer. In 1872, in London, Henry Taylor, who was a pallbearer, missed his stepping after catching his foot on a stone. He snotted himself, fell to the ground, and the other pallbearers dropped the coffin onto poor old Henry. What a way to go.
Not laughing.
Quote, the greatest confusion was created amongst the mourners who witnessed the accident, and the widow of the person about to be buried nearly went into hysterics. That's the fucking thing.
Yeah,
I'm getting carried away with the image of Henry, and then I'm thinking about this poor fucking woman.
Yeah.
Watch, did her husband fall out of the coffin or anything? There's a good fucking chance. This is a fucking situation.
What I'm picturing is like a Laurel and Hardy scene.
That's a very morbid Laurel and Hardy scene.
When you said pallbearer, I immediately thought of wrestling.
What?
Because there was Mr. Pallbearer who would go down with Undertaker and hold his urn.
What, you thought this was like his great-great-grandfather or something?
I don't know. I just heard pallbearer and I immediately thought of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. The clown.
No. Why?
Yes.
Right. We were only talking at the starter about us fucking rehashing stuff from episode 2. Now we've gone to episode 4.
Well, this one's pretty fucking brutal. And had I known about it back then, I would have included it. You ready?
Yeah.
On the 10th of January, 1854... a 13-year-old boy named William Snyder was selling candy and peanuts at a theatre production in San Francisco. For some reason, and I'm not sure why, a man named Manuel Reyes, who was working there as a clown, decided to pick William up and swing him around by his ankles.
As you do.
Blood began to run from William's mouth, and he was rushed to the hospital, but he did die just a few minutes later.
And you wonder why I don't want to be near clowns.
That story really isn't doing much for your fear, is it?
No.
But, I mean, that's nightmare fuel. That is. Why did he do that? Why would you pick someone up and swing them by the ankles?
Yeah, but my dad did that to me.
Sadistic bastard.
Yeah, but blood didn't come out of my mouth.
He wasn't swinging hard enough.
Look, the last thing I want to do is defend a clown. But we were built different back in the day. You played rougher.
What?
You played rougher, you know.
He picked up a 13-year-old boy and swung him from his ankles until blood came out of his fucking mouth.
Yeah, but I don't understand. That must have been a medical condition because, like I said, my dad did that to me. He did it to my brother. Me and my brother were always kicking shit out of each other, pretending to be Ninja Turtles or wrestlers. You know, my dad used to just throw me up in the fucking air. As a newborn baby, he used to throw me up in the air. He used to throw me like a fucking football.
My dad used to throw me up in the air, but he didn't swing me by my ankles. And I got to be honest, I couldn't give a shiny shite if it's a pre-existing condition. don't go pick up a random person and swing them by the ankles. Particularly a child.
He's trying to make the kid laugh, like. And like I said, I don't want to defend the clown, but.
But you're gonna.
He obviously didn't know it was going to do something to the kid. The kid, no, I don't the kid must have had a medical condition.
You know, I don't think it was intention to kill this 13-year-old boy. But he certainly learned a lesson, hasn't he?
Who, the kid?
The clown. The kid has lost his life.
Oh, yeah.
Can't believe you're defending a clown. I never thought this would happen.
I said I don't want to.
I know, but I'm in a bit of shock right now. You know, talking about the 1800s and being a woman, feeling a bit hysterical.
Emotional.
The lawyer. In 1871 in Ohio, a lawyer named Clement Vallandigham was in court defending a man named Thomas McGeehan. Thomas had been accused of murder in the shooting death of Thomas S. Myers. Attempting to prove that the death was actually an accident, Clement demonstrates how Thomas S. Myers may have pulled the gun from his pocket. In the process of this demonstration, Clement accidentally shoots himself in the abdomen. He then says, quote, "Oh, murder, I am shot. What a foolish thing to do." I gotta be honest with you, I personally think he should have gone with it and just said, "I think I've made my point."
Yeah.
That would have been case closed.
Yeah.
Huh?
Why, again, I'm getting Laurel and Hardy in me head.
Yeah, so in fairness to him, he didn't intentionally demonstrate this with a loaded gun. He had two guns, okay?
What a knob. He picked the wrong one.
Yes. So one was loaded, which he had used to shoot a piece of cloth in order to show just how close the gun would have had to have been to the fabric without powder burning it.
Mm-hmm.
And the other unloaded gun, which was to be used in the demonstration for the jury. Unfortunately, back in his hotel room, once he finished the experiment, he placed the guns next to each other on the table. Yeah. No good.
Well, they didn't have labels back then.
Clement died the following day as a result of the gunshot wound, and his client was acquitted. But his client, Thomas, was murdered 4 years later.
That's not funny.
It's not funny.
I don't know why.
Murder's not funny, Neil.
I don't know why that made me. Yeah.
It's just because it kind of seems like it was, you know, all for nothing.
Yeah.
Like this whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The cigarette. On the 22nd of May, 1867, the Archduchess Matilda of Austria was sneaking a smoke. She was 18 years old, but her father had strictly forbidden smoking, so you can imagine her fear when she heard her father's footsteps approaching.
I know that fear. 9/11.
What?
Yeah, first time I got caught smoking.
Matilda quickly hid the cigarette behind her back, but there was one little problem with this. Matilda was due to attend the theatre and was dressed for the occasion in an extremely flammable gauze dress. Her dress caught alight and Matilda suffered severe burns before the fire could be extinguished. She was treated for the burns to her skin but ultimately succumbed to her injuries.
I've been there.
No, you haven't.
I have. When I was younger, like all my tracky bottoms, most of my tracky bottoms and joggers had like a hot rock burn in them.
A what?
Where like, so when you're smoking, it doesn't have to just be a cigarette, but if you're smoking, sometimes something will drop off and land on your trackies and it'll burn a hole through your trackies.
You're trying to compare a cigarette burn on a piece of clothing to third degree burns, gauze burning into your skin.
Well, I'm just saying I've been there.
You've been there, yes. You've been in the realm of what Matilda, poor Matilda, went through.
Very loosely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Do you want to hear something fucked up about this as well?
Mm.
Her family didn't know what the fuck had happened. She wasn't near any open flames. It was only later that her cousin, who had been smoking with her, revealed the truth. To them, she just essentially burst into flames.
Fucking hell.
Bear in mind, she was hiding the smoke, you know?
and that'll have burnt in the fire.
That's fucking, like, could you imagine the fright for that family? And that cousin must have been shitting himself.
Yeah.
But anyway, there's a lesson there for you kids. Don't smoke. But if you do, for fuck's sake, don't wear gauze.
Yeah. Or trackies.
The file. So, got another member of royalty here for you. Empress Elizabeth of Austria.
Never heard of him.
Her.
Her.
On the 10th of September, 1898, in Geneva, Switzerland, Empress Elizabeth left her hotel and was walking across the promenade towards the ship destined for Montreux.
What's Montreux?
It's a place in Switzerland.
Oh.
As she boards the ship, Elizabeth collapses and falls unconscious. In an attempt to help her, Countess Irma, who was travelling with her, undoes her dress and cuts the strings of her corset, allowing her to breathe.
Perfect.
Irma asks if she was in any pain, and Elizabeth, between going in and out of consciousness, tells her that she was not. Then Irma notices a mark on her left breast. Once the captain was notified about just how serious her condition was, he turned the boat around and Elizabeth was carried back to the hotel on a makeshift stretcher to seek help. But it would be too late. So what had happened was, as they were walking from their hotel towards the ship, a man named Luigi Lucchini passed by. Now, Luigi was an Italian anarchist. And as they passed one another, Luigi feigned a misstep and attempted to regain his balance. He had done this in order to mask his attack on Elizabeth. What he had actually done was stab Elizabeth with a sharpened 4-inch file attached to a wooden handle. The file punctured her lung as well as her heart, but due to the compression of her corset, she didn't even notice.
Why did he do that?
Because he was an anarchist. Luigi was later arrested, and during his trial, he said, quote, "I am an anarchist by conviction. I came to Geneva to kill a sovereign, with object of giving an example to those who suffer and those who do nothing to improve their societal position. It did not matter to me who the sovereign was whom I should kill. It was not a woman I struck, but an empress. It was a crown that I had in view."
Still a woman.
His point being, it wasn't an attack on a woman. It didn't matter whether it was a woman or a man. He was literally seeing a person,
right,
who was, you know. So a little follow-on with Luigi. After Luigi was found hanging in his cell in 1910 at the age of 37, his head was preserved in formaldehyde and was on display in Vienna from 1986 until the year 2000.
Why?
Because they could.
We've been through this. I don't get it. It's fucking weird. Stop it.
Well, neither does Dr. Ulrich Frick, the chief of Geneva's Institute of Legal Medicine. He said at the time, quote, "Personally, I'm happy we are rid of it. I had wanted to dispose of it, perhaps make a mass casing of the face, but the Austrians wanted it."
I don't get it. No one wants to go and look at a fucking head.
Well, again, he thought the same as you, and he also noted that although it was not his taste, quote, "you could keep it for 200 or 300 years like that. So you're getting a good spin out of it,
right,
if you do want it." And the Austrians did.
Weirdos.
Well, we actually previously talked about that with the serial killer who's...
Yeah, we did. And it's... No. Stop it. No one wants to see it.
Well, they initially had done it, you know, to potentially examine the brain, you know. Didn't go to plan, and they just had a head floating about the gaff.
Yeah.
Mm. The laughter. In 1893, in Laurel, Indiana, a man named Wesley Parsons was sat, shooting the shit, just laughing and joking with friends, when he found himself particularly tickled by a joke and entered into fits of laughter.
Feel for him.
The laughter continued for nearly an hour before he began to hiccup. 2 hours later, Wesley died of exhaustion. Sadly, I do not know the joke that killed him.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I feel for him. I was going to say I've been there. I haven't been there, obviously, because I'm still here. But I've had it before where I've been laughing that hard and I've started choking. Yeah. It happens quite a lot, actually.
Your stomach starts tensing up really bad.
Yeah. And sometimes after it, I'm like, I could have died then.
Well, they say laughter is the best medicine. It's clearly a load of bollocks.
Yeah.
To be fair, Wesley was 70 years old. Not too shabby for back then. And he was a farmer. So
fucking hell.
Fucking grafting all his life, I'm sure.
Yeah.
He had a good run. Yeah. At least he went out laughing.
Yeah.
Well, the hiccuping's not so... I fucking hate hiccuping. That's a load of shite, isn't it?
Yeah. But I'm not having that. You know, just because he was a farmer, you're there saying he's probably grafted all his life. Well, no, he could have worked on the farm and been one of them work-shy people who, you know, pretended.
Don't you sully Wesley's good name.
Why?
Well, I don't know the man. He could have been a right bollocks.
But exactly.
I'm just giving him a chance. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I really didn't see you turn against Wesley like that. So this is our final one for the day.
Mm-hmm.
The mouse. In 1875 in South London, as women worked in a factory, a mouse suddenly appears on the work table. The mouse's presence was said to have caused a bit of commotion.
Understandably.
Well, the women fled in terror because, you know, women always become hysterical at the sight of a mouse.
Yeah.
Women, mice, hysteria, you know, that whole connection.
Yeah.
It took a strapping young lad to enter the workroom and remove the mouse from the situation. But then, shit went awry. As the man picks up the devious little rodent, the mouse was said to have slipped out of his hand, run up his sleeve, and then come out between his shirt and waistcoat. Now, for some reason, the man had his mouth open, and the mouse quickly darted towards his gaping orifice.
You're probably screaming.
Well, the man, now in a state of panic, accidentally swallows the mouse. The mouse, I'm sure, was absolutely petrified and began to bite and tear from within the man's throat. Quote, "You okay? Are you okay?
You knew this one would bother me."
This one?
Yeah.
You've been very quiet throughout this, I feel. I feel like you don't really know what to say. Like, they're just too something for you.
I was seething as soon as you said the mouse.
You feel annoyed,
I was like, she's added clown and mouse into the same fucking episode. You know I'm not good with rodents.
No, you're not. You are the hysterical woman in that situation.
Well, that also pissed me off because she said, you know, women. And I'm like, what the fuck is she saying?
Hang on, you're offended that women were constantly classed as hysterical.
No, but you're putting me in the same class.
No, I'm not.
You know I'm not good with rodents.
Yes.
And then you went, you know that whole connection, women and...
No, I think you're taking that personally. I'm saying that's how it was described in these articles. The women were, you know, fled in terror because of a mouse.
Mm.
This is not about you.
See, right. I'll explain my thing with rodents. Right. I'm not fond of them, but I don't like hurting animals. I, you know, I can't do it.
Yeah, but I get the traps where I can release them.
Yeah, you do. But the reason why I don't want one near me is because I will stamp on it in panic. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, no, but we've got a good arrangement here. You handle spiders because I can't deal with them, and I handle wasps and mice.
Yeah.
That's the deal.
Hmm.
I think you've got a good deal.
Yeah. Yeah, well, if we get a burglar, I have to handle them.
Do you, though?
A burglar?
Yeah, because you're quick to go, what's that? What's that noise? Whereas I'm quicker to go up and check the noise. Now, after the fact, yeah, it's pretty much all on you because I'm not very capable.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think it's a good idea because I'm taking on something that flies and a rodent. You know, I think you're getting a good deal here.
Could be a burglar with his dick out.
But again, that's all you. That's all you. Quote, "That a mouse can exist for a considerable amount of time without much air has long been a popular belief and was unfortunately proven to be a fact in the present instance. For the mouse began to tear and bite inside the man's throat and chest, and the result was that the unfortunate fellow died after a little time in horrible agony." Now,
fucking hell.
Well, there were several witnesses to corroborate the story. So I know this is a little bit like, did it really happen like that? But there was people who said it did happen, and his death was ruled an accident. Now, if that's not the most Victorian era fuckery I've ever heard, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
But there you go. There's a look at a few bizarre Victorian deaths. How's that grab you? I feel like you didn't enjoy this episode at all. I feel like you were just really pissed off throughout it. just the level of fuckery got you in this one.
Like, the mouse, I know you added the mouse and the clown just to get at me.
I honestly didn't. I didn't think the mouse would bother you at all.
Oh.
Because I know you don't like mice, but I didn't think you were, like, scared of them, like, the notion of them.
Fucking mouse eating you from the inside out. You didn't think that would bother me?
No. Well, no more than it should.
I'm going to bed tonight, and I'm either going to wake up in a hot sweat because a clown's just been swinging me by my ankles, or I'm getting eaten from the inside out by a fucking mouse.
Well, I apologise. I didn't mean to freak you out. I honestly didn't think the mouse one would get you.
You knew the clown one would.
Well, actually, no, you started defending the clown. I thought it would bother you.
Yeah, well, like I said, I didn't want to defend the clown.
Yeah, but you felt you had to for some reason, unknown to me.
Yeah. What else? There were you one who got stabbed by an anarchist. Well, that's not exactly an accident, is it?
I didn't say it was.
I thought these were accidental deaths.
No.
Oh.
Bizarre Victorian deaths.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just cold-blooded murder. Because she was a person of power.
Well, considering you think rodents are just evil little bastards, did the mouse not attempt murder?
Did they kill the little shit?
The mouse?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was dead, yes.
Oh, okay.
Oh, what? So you're happy about the mouse's death now? You weren't happy about the bear, but the mouse, yeah, fucking kill it.
No, that one probably pissed me off the most. The bear, because you're the fuckers who got that on vodka.
Yeah.
You gave that bear a drinking problem.
Yeah.
Like, so you got what you got.
Well, he didn't. The tavern owner didn't. Do you know what I mean?
He served him, didn't he?
He didn't serve. You think it's a job, like a bear walks up to a bar.
Yeah.
No.
I thought it was like, you know, it's the local Barry the Bear.
No.
He drinks.
No, it wasn't Barry the Bear. This was another bear. He ventured off, wandered into the tavern, and apparently got to the fucking kegs, which I didn't even know. It sounded odd to me, a keg of vodka. But apparently that's the thing.
Mm.
Either way, the bear got into it, and your man obviously heard a bit of commotion and was like, is there a bear down there drinking my vodka?
Yeah.
And it turned out there was a bear down there drinking his vodka.
Right. Do you know what I would have probably done if I were that tavern owner? Left the bear to it. But then gone up to the owner and gone, I'm going to cut your prick off if you don't fucking reimburse me for that keg of vodka.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be...
I wouldn't have challenged the bear.
No. I wouldn't have done that myself now. let's say it was the middle of the night. Isaac was woken up from his slumber.
Yeah.
Didn't know what was going on. He just thought, hey.
Yeah.
It's my vodka.
You switch light on, you see a bear drinking from a keg and it's like,
don't do that.
Okay. And then just flick it back off and go back upstairs.
That is what I would do, yes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be getting into it. And you probably fucking will, because you'd be like, oh, he's a bit, you know, tipsy. I could probably cuddle him. Probably get away with it this time.
Yeah.
Now, I did have a couple I didn't include because I couldn't really find anything about them other than a blog post.
Mm-hmm.
But sure, fuck it. Will I mention them now?
You can
let you hear them.
As long as you know they're... factual.
Well, I don't. That's what I'm just saying. I saw them in blog posts.
Right.
So I was struggling to find any articles.
Okay.
So these ones take with a pinch of salt. I don't know.
Okay.
Now, the umbrella.
No. No. Right. Can I guess? With both of these ones, I'll guess. They sat on an umbrella by mistake and it opened up.
No. So, a 50-year-old woman named Harriet Cross was reported to have fallen down the steps of a shop. But it wasn't the fall that killed her. During her tumble, the umbrella that she'd been carrying lodged into her eye and she died as a result of her injuries.
Right. Strike three. Eyes now.
Yeah.
I'd have much preferred it to go up her ass.
No, it didn't. That's a bit twist of you to say that. It's very inappropriate what you're saying right now.
Next.
The billiard ball. It didn't go up anyone's arse.
Mm.
I'll just say that right now.
No, went down someone's throat.
Sort of. In 1893, a teenage boy was reported to have lodged a billiard ball in his mouth, which blocked his airways, and he died as a result.
That's the thing.
Well, the boy was said to have done this before. It's a bit of a party trick for him.
Yeah.
But this time it went wrong.
Yeah. So someone like me, like, I've never even tried doing it, but someone like me who can unhinge the jaw, that's the party trick. But I've seen clips on social media where someone's put the ball in and they can't get it out.
Do you know something that really bothers me?
It's like, you're going to smash your teeth out.
Well, yeah. No, don't fucking do that. But in the same kind of vein, right? When you see people doing that fucking game, that chubby bunny, where they're shoving loads of marshmallows into their mouth.
Yeah.
Why is this a thing?
That's
why
for are kids.
You doing, why
that's
are you
kids
doing that?
As well.
But that's crazy.
Yeah.
Why are you deliberately shoveling something into your gob that is like fucking, what's the word I'm looking
not
for?
Not good for you.
But not good for you, no. No, but you know, like something kind of like spongy and it's fucking, I don't understand it.
Yeah. Americans.
I think the logic is it's spongy, the sugar is going to dissolve.
Yeah.
But it's also like clogging up your mouth so much. Yeah. It's not like something you could like spit out in one go.
Yeah.
Am I insane? I can't understand why they do it.
I've done it with Yorkshire puddings.
Do you know I believe you?
I can't believe you did an eye.
Well, like I said, I can't say if that one is true. I tried to find an article or something about it, which, you know, there was even the name there. Do you remember when I was on a PDF file the other day?
Yeah.
And I was like, look at all these names. And I was like, fucking scrolling. That was a load of deaths.
So when you were asking for my opinion, like my help on something, because you wanted, I was trying to see if there was a way you could search for the name on the file. So I was helping you on that fucker.
Yeah. I tried to find something about it. I'm still not sure. So like I said, take it with a pinch of salt. But if nothing else, you got a reaction out of Neil.
Yeah. So, oddity. Now behave with this.
Tight lacing. We're sort of keeping with the theme of today's episode. We're going to talk about corsets, or more specifically, tight lacing.
Oh, I was thinking boots. Sometimes when I'm putting my boots on before work, I'm like, oh, that's far too tight.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I need a cutting off circulation.
Oh, no.
I like my laces tight.
Like, I proper military tie them. So if you do it too tight, I don't know. Like, it don't feel right.
I like it when I take off my shoe. It looks like my foot needs to be amputated. Anyway, tight lacing. Now, we all know that corsets or other forms of structured clothing, shapewear have been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And even now, although not as popular, we do still see corsets in fashion or in shapewear with the likes of waist trainers.
And lingerie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also a difference between simply wearing a corset and tight lacing. You can wear a corset to cinch your waist, or some wear them to aid in correcting their posture, but you can tight lace in order to essentially deform your body and obtain an hourglass figure.
Yeah, I remember when it happened to Bella Swan.
What?
Do you remember when it happened to Bella Swan?
Who's Bella Swan?
Keira Knightley in Pirates of the Caribbean. She fell in the water, and when they got her out, she was like, oh, she can't breathe, and they cut a corset open. And as soon as they cut the corset open, a bit of water came out of her gob and she was alive.
Right. Now, although I was aware of the potential dangers of this, I was not aware that back in the 1800s, there was controversy around this practice.
Right. Well, there would be. I think it's ridiculous what women all do for fashion.
No, but back then, when it was a big thing, I didn't realise that people were concerned about it. I thought it was after the fact. We were like, ah, lads, don't be doing that.
Okay.
But no, the women who were doing this were getting ripped to shit for doing it.
It's probably the Victorian style duck lips. Yeah, it's probably the Victorian version of duck lips.
Not really, no.
Women who did that thinking they look good doing it, you know.
Well, that's a matter of your opinion. Do you know what I mean? Like, you have a big thing about that.
No, I'm not talking about surgery. I'm talking about people doing duck lips in a selfie.
Oh, okay. Again, that's a completely different thing because one is a pose, one is, you know, deforming your body.
Yeah.
So, of course, there's the, you know, medical concern. But for many, they also felt that this was just another way to oppress women by quite literally restricting them.
Yeah.
In 1874, a list of 97 diseases were attributed to the wearing of corsets. But again, 1800s, and the list did also include hysteria and melancholy. Other concerns include poor digestion, restricted breathing by reducing lung capacity, atrophy of back muscles, ribcage deformity, and also by altering the ribcage, compression of internal organs causing deformity. No good. And with that said, it's particularly unsettling that in the 1830s, a, quote, maternity corset was designed.
Just real quick, right, so the whole point of it is to make your waist look smaller and your tits look bigger. It, like, pushes...
By contrast, yeah.
Yeah. So in these cases, like back then, do we know if it was mainly the woman who... You know, essentially it's like a woman getting surgery, plastic surgery now. Or is it the woman's husband who is like, you're going to wear that?
So I am going to mention where a man came into it. But I think more often it was, well, I don't want to say, I can't say that for a fact. But women did receive a lot of shit because they were vain. They were doing this. They were killing themselves in the name of whatever. And it's like, you know, I wasn't actually there.
Yeah.
But I could take a fucking guess.
So it's a bit like breast implants now where it's like, well, not now. They're a lot safer now. But years ago, it was that bursts and leaks into your fucking bloodstream. You're dead. Yeah.
Well, I think it's actually a fair point you've made that how much of it was men behind it.
Yeah.
Influencing or, you know, outright telling a woman to wear it. Hmm. But remember, there were also in history men wearing corsets as well.
What?
Yeah, not quite the kind of like as you're picturing. Because I feel like in your mind, you're picturing more like a lingerie type.
Yeah.
But men would also wear it in terms of like posture and stuff like that.
Oh, like the shape fit.
The what? Like shapewear. Are you talking about like a specific brand or something?
I keep seeing it on Instagram. Is it Shape Fit?
Yeah, it's shapewear, like the vest tops.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically that's, like I said, about the waist trainers and stuff and, you know, shapewear in general.
Mm.
Men had it as well, but we always kind of associated it with women.
Right.
But the fellas were getting in on it as well.
Allegedly.
In 1844, the Dublin Weekly Herald wrote, quote, corset lacing as practiced in Europe and America is in truth no other than an impious, murderous, suicidal fashion. Impious because it undertakes to give the female a better shape than the Lord intended her. Murderous because parents are often the cause of the fatal disease of the children. Suicidal because the vast numbers continue to wear corsets after they know they materially injure them.
Yeah, like, I would sooner just sit freely and eat cake and be happy than put myself through all that to look more appealing.
Mm.
You know? Like, so back in the day, I was in really good shape, but I was fucking miserable. Always watching what I'm eating and when I eat and all that. Like, I might not look as good as I did back then, but I'm happy. I can just have a bag of Doritos and breathe while I do it. These couldn't breathe, like.
But again, you know, that's kind of, you know, very much matter of opinion and preference on looks. You know what I mean? Mm. And I mean, I've said that a million times. You know, like a big one for going on about like, I don't eat this, I don't do that is, you know, J-Lo.
Yeah.
And J-Lo is absolutely beautiful. Stunning looking woman. But, no amount of beauty is worth never having a cup of coffee, never having a bit of cheese.
She only sleeps on her back.
Yeah, for the wrinkles.
Yeah.
Well,
I didn't mean sexually. I meant that's what she said about avoiding wrinkles.
Yeah.
No, I didn't know if you thought, like, because I said laid on her back.
No, I didn't think that. Right. But maybe a listener did. So I'm glad you cleared that up. No, but I get that being a little bit more careful, you know, trying to, like, I try to fucking sleep on my back. But I'm not going to never roll over or whatever, get comfy.
Yeah.
Same way, like, you know.
And it's very difficult when you're laid in bed with me because I'll constantly be like, turn off.
Yeah. Very annoying. But yeah, like, obviously everything in moderation. Don't take the piss. And you try to eat healthy. But if I could never just fucking order Domino's or something, it's not fucking worth it.
Mm.
I like pizza. I like cake.
Yeah.
Balls to it. In 1903, a 42-year-old woman named Mary Halliday died not long after suffering a seizure. An autopsy was conducted and, quote, two pieces of corset steel were found in her heart, their total length being 8 3/4 inches. Where they rubbed together, the ends were worn to a razor's edge by the movement of her body.
Fucking hell.
Mm.
Do you know what's one of my biggest fears, and I hope it never happens? Seeing a dog have a seizure.
I have.
I don't know what I'd do.
I have. My dog, when she got older, started suffering seizures, and it's really, really upsetting.
Well, sorry, not just dogs, like people as well. Like, if you just started having a fit now, I don't know what I'd do.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, luckily I don't.
No, no,
suffer
but,
from seizures.
No, but what I mean is, like, right, say if you just collapsed and so I ran over to check and you're not breathing.
Yeah.
So I know to, you know, do the compressions, fucking mouth to mouth and all that.
I don't think you do mouth to mouth anymore.
Well, would we you?
Okay.
But with a seizure, it's like, what do? Just watch?
See, I don't even know. Like, it's... Right, recovery position, I assume, but I don't know how to deal with it. Is that not something we should be taught in schools in case you ever encounter it? Like, it's very scary.
Yeah, but
someone having a seizure. We don't know what to do.
But that's what I mean. So you'd think about putting him in the recovery position, but they're lobbing themselves about as quick as you can put them in the position, they're gonna throw themselves out of it.
In 1894, actress Kitty Tyrrell was performing at the Elephant and Castle Theatre in London. As she exited the stage after the second act, she collapsed while begging for her corset to be unfastened. She was brought to the dressing room, where she was later pronounced dead. Her husband, who was also in the show, carried on the performance, as the show must go on.
Fucking hell.
Yeah, it was also a comedic part he was playing.
Fuck.
Yeah.
I could carry on.
No, I don't think you could. I probably could because of the black sludge that pumps through my heart, as you like to say.
Yeah, no, but I mean, when he's on stage, at that point, all I know is you've been carried off stage. I don't know you're dead.
Yeah, but you'd be a bit worried.
So I'd think you're receiving medical treatment, like lobbing your corset off.
Yeah.
So I'll be there, like, expecting you to come back out on stage. I'd probably just keep thinking, where the fuck is she? Why is she milking it?
You'd probably actually get annoyed at me, yeah. No, that's your fair point, yeah. Now, during an inquest into her death, it was thought that through tight lacing, Kitty was not receiving enough oxygen and had aggravated an existing heart condition, which her husband did confirm that she had complained about her heart only weeks previous. So yeah, no good.
See, you know, like how I said about husbands, you know, making the wives wear it to look more appealing?
Mm-hmm.
I would never do that to you. Like, you know, I've said to you often enough, I love you in what we call comfies. You know, big fucking joggers, a big fucking t-shirt or a big hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're in comfy clothes, you look cute. But that is how you'd die. Your joggers would be that baggy, you'd trip over them.
That is more on brand for me, yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about a couple of notable women who participated in tight lacing. Empress Elizabeth of Austria, who we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
She was a divil for it.
Mm-hmm.
Dita Von Teese. Do you know Dita Von Teese?
Not personally.
Burlesque artist. She was married to Marilyn Manson a few years back. I say a few years back. You know, over 15 years ago.
Right.
They actually got married in Tipperary. Fun fact.
Who goes to Tipperary?
I have family in Tipperary, I'll have you know.
Oh, yeah.
So like I said, Dita Fontes has stated that she did so during her 20s, but has since stopped, stating, quote, I like to cinch the waist, but I'm not into body modification, so I don't deal with organs moving.
Neither do I. I don't deal with organs moving. I'm not into that.
There was also Kathy Jung, who in 1999, at the age of 62, became the Guinness World Record holder for the smallest tight-laced waist on a living person.
See, that's where it gets fucking stupid. You're turning it into a competition of who can wear the fucking tightest.
So you're mad at Guinness?
Yes.
For allowing it?
Dickheads.
I was a little bit surprised that they did allow it, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I know, particularly in more recent years, they've gotten a little bit tighter on the restrictions of what they want to include.
Yeah,
you know? But Kathy's waist was insanely tiny, measuring just 21 inches while uncorseted and 15 inches while cinched.
15's like my wrist.
15's tiny. Kathy actually began waist training at the age of 38 and wore a corset for 23 hours a day, only removing the garment to bathe.
Insane.
She actually passed away last year, so pouring out for Kathy.
Okay.
Okay, you're just slagging the woman rotten. Okay. All right.
No,
how do you say that?
No, I'm not slagging her, because Guinness were allowing it. You know, stop turning shit like that into a competition.
You know, I mean, like, Kathy was 38 when she started doing this. You know, it wasn't like she was a young girl.
Yeah.
You know, kind of deforming her body before it's even fully formed to make sure she gets it. You know? Not that I'm advocating for doing this. I wouldn't do it, lads. Not great. Ethel Granger is another well-known figure in tight lacing. She was said to have begun tight lacing at her husband William's request, as you mentioned earlier. He was actually said to have a bit of a thing for body modification, and Ethel did go on to get quite a few piercings as a result. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not great.
No.
But Ethel does still, I believe, hold the record for having the smallest waist ever recorded on a person of regular stature. Her waist was just 13 inches.
Fucking hell.
Yep.
That is like my wrist.
Mm.
I need to measure my wrist.
You know, that one's a little bit, you know.
It's too much.
If it's true what is reported on it, that it's because of her husband's kink.
Yeah.
It's very concerning.
Yeah. If you're stupid enough to want to do it, that's one thing. But to be forced into it, pressured into it, is another.
Well, like the piercing thing, right? Don't fucking ever, you know, try and influence someone to get a piercing or whatever. But at least with a piercing, you can take it out.
Yeah.
You're basically expecting her to be in discomfort every single fucking day. Because bear in mind, you have to, because your body's going to start reshaping back to normal. Like Kathy did with the 23 hours a day.
Yeah.
You've got to keep doing it.
Mm.
No good.
No.
But there you go. There's tight lacing.
See, what we do in Sheffield is we use cling film.
The full Monty. And you sit in your shed eating a Snickers.
Yeah.
It was a Snickers, wasn't it? Or was it a Mars bar?
Snickers, I think.
I love a Snickers.
Would it have been a marathon bar back then? No, Snickers. Snickers.
I do like a Snickers though, don't you?
The fun fact that Asda, he was working at in the full Monty, I used to rob that blind.
Well, same as your man in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was you actually, Dave. That was inspired by you.
Yeah.
Little known fact. That's a great move. We need to watch it again.
Full Monty.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course it's good. Sheffield made.
That's actually, the full Monty have a bit of a, you know, not one to handle a naked man situation.
What? It's all about naked men.
No. Do you remember when the guys come in to repossess your man's possessions?
Hang on. Put down and piss off.
Yes, that's what they said.
Yeah.
They're grabbing it and then all these lads walk out in their jocks.
Yeah.
And they're like, fucking hell. See? It comes back round.
Yeah.
Comes back round. This happens to us quite a lot.
Yeah.
Circle of life.